Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 272, part 2, the conclusion to The Mount 1. Today is Sunday, December 23rd, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
I'm going to a church, and we're not to work on Sunday, and anyone that does is disobeying God, and they should never do anything, and people that are doing things, they are taking their life into their own hands.
Oh, that's very interesting. Most of Christians I know, they go out to eat on Sunday. Praise God for those nasty sinners that brings them their plates of food. Praise God, when you run out of gas, you go up to this gas station. Praise God for all them nasty old sinners up there pumping gas for you. Praise God for that nasty old fireman that comes to put your fire out, and the policeman that comes, and the airplanes. You want them to jump off? Okay, it's Sunday. Goodbye. We passed the time zone. Woo, huh?
Well, she says, I never heard it ministered that way before.
Well, you have heard it now.
And I know what she did. She probably went back, and they laid another one on her.
Oh, they'll get caught. They'll get caught themselves up there in Wisconsin, eating over there, hogging up, pigging out over in Wisconsin, so none of the Minnesotans will see them. Isn't that stupid? Hey, don't take out the hobo bus. Jesus said Sunday was made for man, not man for Sunday. Don't fly today. Right? Don't work in the grocery store. Don't do anything. Well, are you saying you favor that? No, I don't favor it. Being of a lazy nature, I don't want to work on Sunday. That's the truth about it. But isn't that ignorance? When there's so many other problems, I think it's a smoke screen. Got so many other things wrong that we argue about that. And right in the middle, right in the middle of something, like your kids, they change the subject. And they did all kinds of things. Mom, look at my shoe. It's flapping open. It's brand new. What do you think of that, Mom? You just bought these, too. That's a ripoff, Mom. And No, let's don't change the subject. Let's don't change our focal point. Let's put our eyes on Jesus, see what he has to say. All the prophesying that's going on all the time now, the speaking in tongues, that's beautiful. We've read every book. But really, all those are very, very secondary when it comes to the issue of what did Jesus say? I think we've become also experts in spiritual things. But we're in trouble. We have forgotten to ask. We do all these spiritual things. Let's have a revival. We do all of these spiritual things and we never even ask God. God, do you want us to have a revival here? Who brings revival anyway? The Holy Spirit. No, we are in trouble because we have formulas but lack power. A form, the Bible says, of godliness, denying the power thereof. And so how do we treat prayer? Many believe in prayer, and I know they do, but after a fashion. Oh, I pray, you know, yeah, I pray, and, you know, I believe in Jesus, and I pray, yeah. And they say, well, it works for some, a lady told me, but they give it little effort, they give it little thought, and they give it little time. Well, she says, how much do we pray? The Bible says, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Have you tried this? Have you made it a habit of seeking God each day, this morning, before you came to church? Did you ask God to anoint the preacher? Did you ask God to anoint the service and the music, the testimonies and the announcements? How about the collection? We'll find out. Did you ask God to bless your money so it would go out and be a blessing to people? I mean, when you gave it, did you say, Lord, bless this money? When you spent it, did you say, Lord, bless this? Were you a good steward? Did you invest it in the kingdom? And did you expect a return so you could freely give? Did you ask God to bless your mate today, your kids today, your husband today, your boss today, your friends today, your enemies today? Praise God, who cares? Pray for everybody. Be free. Well, I mean, we do a lot of things. Yes, we believe God. But I think for the most part, we all fall down when it comes to prayer. There are opportunities. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. There are actually opportunities. Now, I'm not talking to make yourself physically and mentally ill. But there is an attitude of praying when you're around people. Might just come to you, well, I'm going to touch this person. Maybe, you know, if you believe that, you just sort of bump up against them. You just give them a blessing, Lord. You know, maybe they're all angry or something like that down on the job. Maybe they just made a fool out of themselves, and they take their, do you work with sheetrock? And they nailed it up crooked or something like that. And somebody goes, who did this? What a mess. Maybe they need some encouragement. Maybe they need to have you say, well, yeah, I remember I nailed a piece a lot worse than that, but I covered it up. You know what I mean? Nobody knew the difference. You just got caught, okay? It'll be all right. Let's just slop some mud on this thing, and it'll be okay. Tape it over, taper. We'll just tape it over. How many things do you have to cover up? Boo-boos you cover up with your taping? A lot of them. Do you tell every time? Boy, did I cover up a lot of mistakes today. I don't think so. You wouldn't last long in the first place if you did that, would you? Get rid of you. They'd bind you up in tape and dip you in the old plaster bucket and you'd stand there like this, huh? No, it says love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers. See somebody that's out there in open, wanton sin? You take love covering and everybody's watching and raving and carrying on. You cover them up. That covering is the Lord. That covering is keeping your mouth shut. There's a na 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 na. Huh? Woo! What a mess! Who did this room? Ooh. Yeah, I think we believe God, but we fail in prayer. Our faces show it. You ever see somebody's face? It just, you know that they haven't prayed. They believe in prayer somewhat, but if they have really been in contact with God, their faces wouldn't look like that. Really, if you've been with God in prayer, is your face going to look like this? Man. Huh? No, it shows up. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I don't want you to all instantaneously start to smile now. But it's really the truth, isn't it? When you've prayed, when you've sought the Lord, you know, you've asked and you seek and you knock and you've met with Jesus, there's a peace that comes over you. And then some say, sure, I've heard that everyone that asketh receive it, but it isn't true. It doesn't work. I have asked, this woman said, until I am blue in the face. All I felt like saying is better than the red one you got on now. I've knocked until my knuckles were bleeding, but the door wouldn't open. Well, I said, some seek after a fashion. They open up the closet door and they peek inside. Hello, God, are you in there? Then they walk out discouraged and defeated because they didn't get an answer. If you got an answer, you'd drop dead anyway. And people say, I tried it and it doesn't work. My husband died. Happens. My job folded. That happens. How many know jobs fold? A lot of people know that now, don't they? And you know what? God, they said, didn't do anything at all, and I'm never going to pray to him again. But there are those of you listening to me that know that prayer works. We know that we can ask and seek and knock and it shall be received and found and opened. And we know prayer is a source of comfort and power and peace and joy and forgiveness and salvation and enrichment. And we know like the psalmist, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of my fears. I mean, the psalmist found that the Lord really does and really does give good things to them that ask. But the Bible says don't ask amiss. Ask a hit. And so I don't know what David's fears really were, all of them. Sins, temptations, fears of falling into sin, fear of going to God, a fear of sickness or a fear of death or a fear of being lonesome or a fear of rejection. That's a big one, isn't it? A fear of rejection. Why do you fear that? I mean, Jesus was rejected of all men. We fear that, though, don't we? Being rejected. Look at this guy that's running all over California now. He had done some heinous crime, had raped a girl and cut off her arms. Well, he claims he didn't do it. But even if he did do it, what does it make him? He's a sinner. Do you agree with that? How would like any of us like to be in his shoes? I mean, it's bad enough if he did do what they said he did. It's bad enough to live with that. And now nobody wants him around. He can't eat any place. Can't go in a motel. Got signs up, and are we any better when we say, let's kill him! Let's cut off his head! No. I totally think it's wrong. You know why I do? Maybe it's for selfish reasons, but the way you're going to get mercy is the way that you give mercy. The measure that you give it out to others, so shall it also be met out to you. I think that man needs mercy, and I think the people that are saying cut off his head or shoot him, he has to wear a bulletproof vest. I mean, that doesn't say much for the moral majority crowd or whatever they are. I don't know, does it? It's very ungospel, isn't it? Oh, you'll get letters now on this one. Well, I don't care. Send your letters. It lines up with the gospel. Forgive one another and forget it. Forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling of Christ. How many agree with that? That man right now needs mercy. He needs mercy. Do you need mercy?
Well, not as much as he does. Mercy, no.
David asked for mercy. People in the Bible asked for mercy. They were chopping off people's heads. Kill them all! They killed them all. I mean, where does mercy start and where does it end? I'll give you mercy for that. Here's two coupons, two mercy coupons. You check them in. I got a bunch of it. God has given me all the mercy I need. Now, I can give you some. Here's a couple coupons for you. Where does it start and where does it end? How much mercy? No, God is the God of all mercy. What if this singleton, what a great name to have. He's single, all right. Singleton. Man, can you imagine being in that predicament? Well, what made him do that? Have you ever been at a counter someplace? I seen this on TV, and there was a guy, and he come in this place, and he had this backpack. And he put it underneath the counter, and he was talking to the girl at the perfume counter, and he goes, kicks it underneath there, he tucks it under. Good. Oh, I'll try this perfume. And he goes across the street, and he goes into a phone booth, and he calls up the paper, and he calls the networks. And he says there's going to be an explosion, and he pushes a button, and it blows up. And we all think, oh, terrible. Hey, have you ever been at a counter and someone is real rude to you? All of a sudden, you fire up. You could do the same thing with no cause. Says the Bible says they hated Jesus without a cause. We're all... Don't put nothing past yourself. Not very popular to preach like that, but I'll tell you one thing, when you recognize that, you're on the right road. You're on the road to freedom, and things are getting better every day. You learn how to have mercy and love and forgiveness, and it doesn't come in little coupons. What if this man would one morning say, well, I can't take it no more, and he went out and hung himself. Oh, are you for it? What happened? I didn't say that. I said it happened. It's terrible. It's awful. But it's a human thing. Are you hearing this? No, I don't know what fears David had. I don't know if there were temptations or... fears, I said, of falling into sin or sickness or death or lonesome or rejection. That's got about to be the worst one there is, rejection. I remember when I was 13 years old and I was having problems in my life. And they sent me off to, now years and years ago, when they had in the 40s, 40, later 48, like in there 49, 48. When you went to boys' school, was a little different story, let me tell you. And I came back into the small town, and it wasn't a big deal, you know, it was just I was always in trouble. And I got rejected in the school, and I got rejected by everybody. My dad says, put on your apron, you go to work. Well, Dad, I want to move to the next town. No, put your apron on. I put my apron on. I worked through that rejection. That is a hellish thing. No, I think anyway he took to God, and he took God at his word, and he was delivered. I take God at his word. There is no sin that will befall you that is yet not common to man. I think what keeps us bound, I think what keeps us bound is not the problem, it's the fear of the problem. And I think we can still have problems, but with no fears. I think fear is sort of like the destroyer, the wet blanket. Guys having trouble anyway, or people are having trouble anyway in their lives, and then we come and we have this sopping wet blanket, and we say, here, and we plop that on. You ever sat under a wet blanket? Have you ever sat, I think we should sometimes, when somebody's really, really having a hard time, say, well, we want to use you as a guinea pig. Now, you're really having a hard time. This happened to you, you lost a little girl, you lost a little boy and everything like that. It's really terrible. And you had this terrible fire, you lost all your furniture, or you lost your car, they took your car away or something like that. And we're just going to use you. We're going to throw a wet blanket over you just so we'll know. You know what I mean? Somebody just comes along and throws a wet blanket over you and adds to your woes. You're not miserable. He's not miserable enough. She's not miserable enough. Hey, get the wet blanket. Grab one end of it. Sort of walk by. Okay. Whoop. Throw the blanket over him. Leave him sitting there. Don't we do that all the time? Aren't we wet blankets sometime? We have a chance to help somebody, and we're a wet, droopy, saggy, heavy, stinking, wet blanket. Are you hearing this on the radio? No! We have fear, but don't add to it by being a wet blanket carrier. So many have learned to succeed. How, you're asking on the radio? We ask. Because to ask means we have a need. I think no one ever really prays without a felt need, a burden. The Pharisee can only criticize his brother and praise God for himself. He can't pray. But the other man, the publican, the Bible says, knows that he is lost. He is crushed under his guilt. He feels that he cannot go on. He cries out from the deep within, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I think this is the asking then is the reality. Born of a sense of need. Look at Germany, they all, or Japan, or any countries that get into war. Aren't there a lot of people that need to ask, that need to seek, that need to knock and ask for forgiveness? I mean, to ask means to make contact with a supreme personality, namely God. And I believe only such a contact can only be made by one who has faith that takes him to obedience. You mean I have to be perfect? No. To the most worthless, he will hear. Maybe you're listening on the radio and you feel like you're totally out of it. You are worthless. If you really feel that way about yourself, totally worthless, the steps again, you humble yourself and you ask and you seek and you knock. Do you know what's going to happen to you? God is going to elevate you and put you on a higher step. And in the end, the Bible says, God will get all the glory But his glorification will come through you because you were foolish enough to ask and receive and to knock. Singleton, if you're out there listening, people from Germany during the Holocaust, if you get a hold of this tape, warriors in Africa, different parties, political parties in Africa, Korean War vets and Vietnamese, the Vietnam vets and the World War II and the World War I, and all you people, maybe you're carrying something around. Ask and seek and knock. Because if you have, then you know it's possible to be forgiven. See, if you can't make contact with God, you can't ask God. If I regard my iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let me close this message up today. Are you depressed and can't get victory? Check out your will. What have you willed, people? Death? Wrong attitudes? Stop right there then and surrender yourself to God. Then pray His will be done. John says, whatsoever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So I think we have to ask according to the will of God. Of course, some things we know are His will, but there's sometimes we don't always know the will of God. Bible says that it is the confidence that we have in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, well, we have to ask before we even start praying, God, show me how to pray. We know that He will have petitions that we desire of Him. And so for our own sakes, for your own sakes, ask God, God, what is your will? What do you want me to pray? A woman called the other day, and I'll lock it up here in about 5 minutes. She said, we've prayed for our children to change. Well, I said, you know, God knows what's best for your children. Yeah, well, we want to show our kids that God answers prayer. Well, I says, He does answer prayer. And He also relates to you. He says, you are accustomed to hear the prayers and answer them according to your wisdom. How about God's? God knows. Let God deal with those kids. So many times, I was in a circle praying with a family one time, and I said, well, are there any needs here? Well, I have need. Well, I want to ask boldly of God for this new car and so on. He prayed it in front of his folks. And so the folks right away thought, well, you heard him pray. He prayed in faith. So they went out and bought this kid a car. God didn't really answer that. See, it wasn't done in wisdom. How about these big weddings they have? They cost like, the average wedding now costs $10,000. Lord, maybe the daughter's praying. Lord, you know I've always wanted to have a great wedding and a long white dress. And Lord, I'd like it to be at so-and-so building. And Lord, I want to have roast beef, mashed potatoes. And Lord, I want to have buttered corn. And Lord, and the whole thing. Lord, I want it all be catered. And Lord, we want to take our honeymoon now. And Lord, huh? The parents are hearing all of this. Did you hear that prayer? I believe it really came from her heart. Well, a lot of things that come out of the heart that ain't right. Here's a guy sitting there, and I know a guy that did this. He had to go and hawk for $10,000, and that wasn't enough. He had to go another four. $14,000. You want to break up a home in a hurry? We won't have no home to go with costing that much. I always caution people. I say, hey, just because you pray that, God in His wisdom will say no. They'll say, no, you do not need a $14,000 wedding when you got holes in your shoes. Well, anyway, let me finish. What are we talking about here today? To love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, all your spirit and all your strength. The Bible says to give your body to God, to check out your heart, to forgive 70 times 7, to be poor in spirit, to mourn for lost souls, to become meek, to have a good appetite towards righteousness, to show mercy, to have peace. Are you willing to be persecuted for doing all these things, to become light and salt? Are you willing to give yourself the motive test? Take heed that ye do not your own alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Don't do it so everybody can see you. Don't give your kids too much money. Too many yeses until that's all they know is yes. Yes, honey. All right, don't stamp your feet. Don't have a fit. Go ahead and have a fit. You ever watch families like that? And the kid will stamp her feet. Well, you said I was going to have it. No, I haven't. I made my plans. I told everybody I prayed that way. Yeah! Well, then you believe for the 14 grand yourself. It is not going to come out of daddy. I remember years ago, I was really upset, and I was about, I started going with a girl. I was about 15, and we went together till I went in the Army. And then we split up, and the one that got away, you know what I mean? It's like a fish story. Well, you know, really, the one that got away? Me. Praise God, I was really the one that got away. God is merciful, friends. Hey, maybe you're listening on the radio right now, and you just, you're so blue. Am I blue? Am I, huh? Count your blessings, count them one by one, sir. Now seek the Lord. He'll give you a daily bread, and that's all you need to worry about. Can I say one more thing before I close here? Raise your hands if I can. Okay, that's more than half. That's a majority. No, we got to learn how to seek the Lord. A farmer called me. And he said, we pray, give us this, our daily bread. And I said, but after you pray, you got to get out of bed and jump on the tractor. And you got to go on out there and plow and plant and harvest. And if you don't get anything, well, then you got yourself to blame. Then some pray for health and they misuse their bodies. I don't know, I'm feeling so terrible lately. Pass the lasagna. Pass the spaghetti. God, do I love spaghetti. Oh, I'm getting hungry. No. But they go in, they're professional eaters, you know what I mean? And they have this great big brown spoon, and they spike the spaghetti, and they, oh, God, forgive me, and they wind this thing up. I mean, an alligator couldn't get it all in their mouth, you know what I mean? God help me with this. I got this terrible gas. I don't know where it comes from. It sort of runs in the family. Well, they were all lasagna eaters. Woman called me and she said, I prayed that the Lord would make me a prayer warrior. I didn't say it, but I know she already is a warrior. You remember this piece of scripture? Can I read one? Sure I can. Remember the story that Jesus told of the man who had a guest, but he had no food and he went next door? He went to his friend's house. Let's call for the fun of it. Let's call this friend Richard. And so he went to his friend Richard's house. And he said, Richard, open up that door. How many heard that song? Open the door, Richard. Anybody? You never heard that song, Open the Door, Richard? Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Boy, I'm in another age. Says, hey, Richard, wake up. I have company and I have no food. Can you spare some? No. I'm in bed with all my kids. We're sleeping. Get out of here. But he knocks again. Come on, Richard, open up that door. How about the green door? You ever heard that one? Open up the green door. Anybody? Nobody? But anyway, he keeps on knocking, and he keeps on knocking, and he keeps on knocking, and he keeps on yelling. He said, Richard, you hear me? Open up the door. Finally, Richard opens the door. What do you want? Let's do likewise. Let's seek and let's ask and let's not. Let's be persistent in our asking and in our seeking until we get an answer. Persist, because answers are sometimes delayed. It also proves your real motive. Maybe you just want to get rid of your friend. And so you say, well, look, he didn't open up the door. I knocked a couple times. Must mean he's probably not home. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. How much do we really want to help people? How long will we knock, and how long will we seek, and how long will we ask for them? What's our real motive here? Jesus prayed that, I pray that my people might become one. That prayer has not, of course, been completely answered yet, as you can see. But I believe the answer is coming. I think through acting like backbiting dog Christians, that we'll all get put in the hound pound, where everybody has to eat gravy train. And then we'll learn how to love one another. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't give up. Victory is yours. Keep casting your bread, folks, upon the water. Not too many days later, it'll come right back to you. That's it. I'll tell you something, though, that you got to learn how to ask and how to seek and how to knock. How to be persistent. How to turn. In this age, we need to turn to Jesus Christ and say, well, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say on the Sermon on the Mount about mercy? What did he say about those things? What did he say about being a peacemaker? What did he say about forgiveness? And what did he say about all that? What did Jesus say? Not what someone else, not what the popular opinion is. I mean, there's all kinds of opinions. We're all opinionated in some way. Every one of us has got our own opinion. Well, I think, and I've been thinking lately, and I heard, and so much hearsay going on. Isn't that stink, hearsay? I hearsay, and you hearsay. It's almost like old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Hearsay here and a hearsay there and everywhere, hearsay, hearsay there, huh? What's that got to do with lifting up Jesus anyway? Somebody does something against you, forget about it and go on. Tape up all them bad spots. Mud them over. Sand them down. Isn't that right? Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody in the balcony?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 272. Part 2, Mount 1. Be sure to join us every Friday for Part 1, every Sunday for Part 2 of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed Part 1, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you'll find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes and scripture links. Be sure to join us next Friday for the Mount 2. Have a great holiday. Merry Christmas. And God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Spiritual
pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.